You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Joni Harwell.
We are continuing our KFUO history stories today. Special guest in studio. We'll share a little bit more about her in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us in studio, Mrs. Norma Schroll. She's the wife of the late George Schroll, former KFUO on-air host and engineer. She also is a retired teacher from Christ Community Lutheran School right here in St. Louis. Norma, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
We are delighted to have this time with you, even before going on air, just hearing some of the stories. I know that we're in for a real treat today, learning more about the history of KFUO and how George served at KFUO. Let's start with where it began for you and George. Where did you meet?
Well, it began for George and me at my cousin's house in South St. Louis. Mm-hmm. My cousin was Lois Pershbacher, my first cousin. She invited me over for a fish fry, and she told me that there was a young man from their church who lives with his legally blind aunt, and they were coming over, and she said, "Is that okay?" Well, I felt set up from the very beginning, you know? So we're waiting for George and his aunt to show up, and I heard his voice, and when I heard his voice, I knew I was in trouble. He has a radio voice, but he also has, well, he doesn't have a radio face, I guess, because that's usually people that are ugly, but George was very handsome. So I was so impressed with him from the very beginning. I couldn't believe it. So a couple weeks after that, my stereo wasn't working very well. So I called him up and said, "Can you come over and take a look at my stereo?" So he came over and I made dinner for him. And we started dating pretty much regularly after that. Both of us were late 20s, you know, so our relationship grew very quickly. And we were engaged already in August of 78, married in April of 79. Our son George arrived in July 80. Grant arrived February 82, and Greg arrived July 83.
And if you saw her sons, they all resemble their father.
They absolutely do look like their dad. Yes, and that's good.
Yes, yes, he was a very handsome man.
So that's the way we met.
And Norma, I know from knowing George when he worked at KFUO, he had such a passion for KFUO and for being on the radio, but for sharing the gospel message.
Yes, he did.
Tell us a little bit about that.
He was so excited to do anything that had anything to do with KFUO. Back in the 70s, he was a member of Timothy Lutheran Church on Filer and Ivanhoe, and he would do the broadcasts, the live broadcasts for the church service, and it would be on KFUO. I have to tell you a funny story. One Sunday, Pastor Spitz was preaching, and George is up in the balcony, and all of a sudden, he heard this really funny noise. He couldn't figure out what it was. Well, it ended up being that Pastor Spitz was so into his sermon and everything that he actually spit out his upper plate into his hand, and it made a garbled sound for a while, but he didn't miss a beat. And people in the front rows saw this happening, you know, and it was George found out after the fact what happened. And Pastor Spitz, he was such a loving, awesome, wonderful pastor with a great sense of humor. And he brought it up in Bible class and talked about it afterwards. But people used to joke, "Don't sit in the front rows at Timothy because our Pastor Spitz." And then Spitz. Gary Pershbacher's mother added to that, "And now we know that he bites." So that was one of the funny stories. So he did that for Timothy for quite a while. Then he also did it at Concordia Kirkwood, which was our church, and he enjoyed it very much. He had very much a radio voice. He had a wonderful speaking voice and a wonderful singing voice, but he really loved doing that. It just was something that meant so much to him.
Well, and at that time at KFUO, I mean, you didn't have people in the churches who knew how to run all of this equipment. It wasn't the same kind of equipment we have now. And so George would go to those churches, set up this equipment, and make sure it worked perfectly. And that was so important to have that church service on the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he always connected with somebody at the station first before we went on the air to make sure that everything sounded right and everything. So.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned
George had a great radio voice. He fixed your stereo as part of how you met, which is just adorable. But what was his interest in radio? Do you know where that began? What his kind of career aspirations were when you guys met when you were in your 20s?
He went to SIU Carbondale from 1966 to 1970. When he was a student over there, he started having a radio program on WMRY in Belleville. It was a big band music program. It lasted for 5 hours, and it was on Saturday night. And people would call in with requests, and he would play the songs that they wanted to hear and talk back and forth with the listeners. He really enjoyed that very much. If you want to know how much he loved big band, I have probably 1,000 albums in my basement that are big band related, many of them. He could tell you the name of a song. He could tell you the name of the band leader, all of that stuff. I mean, it was just really a passion with him. So he did that for several years. But then, and he had another job in between that and McDonnell Aircraft. And I can't remember what that was, but it had something to do with communications too. But he just loved being behind a microphone. That was his happy place. It really was. The very last show that they had, he loaded up his satellite Sebring with like 10 or 12 boxes of albums for that last night. It was going to be a big finale. He took his friend Jerry Pershbacher with him, and Jerry was in another room writing down requests from people that called in, and then George would try to find the song. And a few people were calling in, giving him the names of these really weird names of songs and stuff, in a way just trying to trick him to see if he really knew that song. Well, nobody tricked him, I don't think. We could find all of them. So it was just a great finale to that era in his life. It really was.
That's amazing.
Now, his time in radio was mostly part-time, correct?
Yes, very much so.
What was his full-time career then?
His full-time career was at McDonnell Aircraft. He worked there from 1972 to 1992. He worked in product support. He did video. He did voiceovers. He did editing. He worked on programs that went all over the world, even the one that I was Miss IC in, that weird character that I had to do over so many times to get it right. And that program went all over the world, and he actually got an award for that program. It was about how video equipment and things like this should be treated very carefully because of static electricity, and temperature needs to be exactly right, or it'll ruin it or something like that. But yeah, he worked there, did a lot of editing and putting together programs for that had to do with the airplanes. He would do rollout ceremonies for like the AV-8B or the F-15, and there would be dignitaries in town from DC sometimes. One time Dick Cheney was there, and they were training a new videographer, and he was kind of giving the stage directions for what should happen. And at one point, the videographer said, "Shoot the stage." And everybody started going, you know, they
use different
couldn't
terms.
Believe that he said that. Yes, you might want to use a different phrase when Dick Cheney is in the building.
Oh, no.
You know, so that was really funny. He told me that story when he came home.
Yes, we've had conversations about that too, working on a documentary.
Yes, we have. Yeah. Maybe we need to choose different language when we talk about filming.
Right. Recording. Yes. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Meanings of words have changed.
Haven't they?
Norma, when did George actually start working at KFUO?
He started working at KFUO in 1975.
Okay.
Yes. And he worked the Saturday morning shift from about 6:30 until 12:30, whenever the next person showed up, you know, and he enjoyed it. He had a program at one point called Jubilee, and he played all different kinds of hymns and had commentary in between. But he looked forward to coming over to KFUO on Saturday mornings. He really did. That changed as time went on, though. He had to retire in 2004, and I can talk a little bit about that, too, if you want me to.
Well, let's talk about what the duties were for a Saturday morning operator or engineer and on-air host. What did that look like? Tell us what you know about what his duties were behind the scenes in a studio at that time. Now, I mean, our studio is full of computers and a lot of things that will do things for us automatically. It wasn't quite that in the 70s and 80s.
What do you call those 8-track tapes?
The carts.
Mm-hmm. In front of him, different things that he had to put in for different things. there were different programs. Different pastors would speak. Sometimes there were regular programs like White Horse Inn was one of them, Issues, et cetera, different things, different programs that were on, and he was responsible for getting those on at the right time. Or there would be, sometimes there would be interviews. There would be people interviewing in Studio C, and he would have to take care of that while he was also on the air. He played music. He talked in between just, you know, because he had a good voice and he just enjoyed doing it. But there was a regular schedule thing that he had to follow for all of the programs and everything. And sometimes John Fisher was there in the morning and Herb Freer. And he used to make jokes about Herb Freer's heart starter coffee. He said his coffee was so strong that if you put a spoon in it, it would either melt the spoon or the spoon would stand up straight. And I went over a lot of times, well, even before we were married even, you know, and just spent time with him over there just watching what he did. It was just interesting. And then we'd go out to lunch or something.
There was a lot to do. I mean, it wasn't there just sitting there. You did, as Norman said, he had to go into Studio C, which meant you went out and around. Mm-hmm. And if you were recording tapes, you were hoping that your music was still playing when you came back.
Right.
You just didn't sit there. You had to time everything and you had to walk different places.
Sometimes if he had to go downstairs or something, he would look at his watch and say, I think I can make it. You know, he would...
Right.
Tear out and come back.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Because the worst thing was dead air.
Oh, goodness. You don't want dead air.
Timing was everything in live radio, right?
Yep.
We are in our KFUO History Stories series. Our guest today, Mrs. Norma Schroll, will continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Joni Harwell.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon, whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan. You'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Joni Harwell.
We are telling the history of KFUO today as we look forward to 100 years, celebrating 100 years of God's blessings here at KFUO. Our guest today, Mrs. Norma Schroll. She's the wife of the late George Schroll, former KFUO on-air host and engineer. You shared with us some of the neat stories so far of how your husband served as a part-time on-air talent on Saturdays here at KFUO, starting in the 70s and continuing up through 2004. Is that right? How did the technology change during his time here as an on-air host and engineer and operator? How did you see the technology change throughout his career here?
It changed quite a bit, I think. And of course, he would roll with that because that was his interest anyway, communications. So it wasn't really a problem for him. I think he would be absolutely amazed to walk into this studio right now to see how things are done. And with all of the stuff happening now with AI and all that, he would be all over, you know, having interest in that.
I agree. George was always there. He always knew what was happening. The studios were rebuilt two or three times in the time I was there. But you always knew it was George was there on Saturday morning. George was going to do his show. And he faithfully did it. And tell us a little bit about George, because eventually George was ill. And Norma continued to serve with George because these two people were so dedicated to KFUO and to the gospel message being presented. Can you share that, Norma?
Yes. In 2002, George was diagnosed with early onset Parkinson's, but it wasn't responding to any medication or anything. So they discovered that it was something called multiple system atrophy, which is a neurological movement disorder. I remember when we went to the neurologist down at Wash U, and he told us that this condition was going to basically take his life. He was going to lose the ability to walk, probably move very well, and to speak. And when the doctor said that, he looked at me and he said, I was hoping that would be you. And the doctor was quite incredulous that he said that. And then George proceeded to say something like this. Norma and I believe in Jesus. He is our Savior. When we stood in front of the pastor on our wedding day, we said, in sickness and in health, for better or for worse. And we meant it. So, and he took my hand. He said, so no matter what God has in store for us, we know that he will walk through it with us. And that's exactly the way we felt. So George continued, well, he was working at Lutheran Hour Ministries from after he worked at LCMS Video. That was in 1993. He started there after he had got laid off from McDonnell Aircraft. They had a big downsizing in 1992. I don't know if you remember that.
I do. Mm-hmm.
Engineers, it didn't matter what your job was. It didn't matter how good you were at your job. I went to pick him up that day and there were wives in the parking lot, very teary-eyed because their husbands were coming out with all of the stuff from their desk. Mm. So, and then a few days after that, he had a heart bypass surgery. He didn't have a heart attack, but he had some blockages that had showed up on a physical. So he was off during rehab and things like that, you know. And then when he could go back to work in March, he was hired at LCMS Video to do editing of videotapes of different programs for them. Then he was hired by Lutheran Hour Ministries in 1995, and he worked in a video capacity there too with Mark Eicher and Troy Teuscher. And there was a program called On Main Street, and he traveled all over the country visiting people and doing videos of them. He got to meet Dale Evans Rogers, Dale Jarrett, Oral Hershiser, a pitcher, Amy Grant. And he went with Dr. Dale Meyer to California one time, and they got to interview Steve Allen and Jane Meadows. That was pretty neat. Mm-hmm. So he worked there. In 2002, it started to be more difficult for him to handle the heavy equipment and stuff. So he had to take disability. And he was at home for a while and could get around. As things got worse, then in 2004, he had to stop working at KFUO. And in June of that year, we had a nice on-air interview with Paul Clayton and talked about his career at KFUO and where we were now with his illness and everything. That was wonderful. Mm-hmm. It really was. He was in and out of the hospital in 2004 and up until 2005 when he passed away at Barnes Extended Care. The chaplain over there sent a letter and a card to me after George passed away. And he said, I just want you to know that any time I went in to have devotions with George, I never failed to be fed by him.
Mm. Yeah.
And that meant so much to me. He never lost his cognitive. The cognitive was there throughout.
I remember really visiting him while he was there.
His cognitive was there. He couldn't speak, which was such a shame because he had such a beautiful voice.
But you did in those last years also come to the studio and help him.
I did.
Plug things in, do things.
I had to go back. It's a creepy place anyway, that old studio was. It really was a creepy building, especially at night. I had to go into the back room and turn on the transmitter. When he told me I was going to do that, I just kind of looked at him like, are you kidding? He said, it's easy. I have 5 steps here on this card. I was very nervous. So I had to crawl back in there. It was really kind of a narrow space. Well, he was in a wheelchair at the time, and he couldn't get back there himself to turn it on. Mm-hmm. But that had to be on before anything happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all on me. Well, I got back there, and I did it the first time, and I thought, all right, I have one more. He says, now you have one more switch. Because he was yelling at me. You have one more switch. Go. Turn it on. So I push the switch and he goes, good girl. And then after that, it was easy. I just knew that I was going to have to do that. But we had to wake up at 4:30. I had to help him exercise his legs, help him dress, get him in the wheelchair, into the car, over to KFUO, out of the car and the wheelchair, into the door. Thank goodness it was all on one floor.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no elevator.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to get him in there through the narrow hallways and everything. And we just got it done. And KFUO was so gracious to let him continue as long as he sounded okay on the air. He probably started to sound a little different towards the end, but he was so thrilled that he could last that long. He really was. And then just about a year and 2 months after that, he went to be with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Why was it so important to both of you to continue to do this work with KFUO, even when things got so difficult? I mean, waking up at 4:30 is commitment to something that you could have very easily been like, well, this is just too challenging for us to do anymore. Why was it so important for both of you to continue?
Well, I think because both of us have a deep faith and we are committed to serving our church and the Lord in any way that we can. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun to do that together, although we only had 26 and a half years. But God knew, even before we got married, what his plan was for us and what the outcome was going to be. And we never know that. God says, I know the plans I have for you to give you hope in a future. In Jeremiah 29:11, we don't know how long that's going to be, but we take what he gives us and we're happy with it and we have good memories from it.
And I will have to say, anytime I happened to come to KFUO on a Saturday morning, George was in the studio smiling. The man must have smiled all the time. And you could hear that in his voice. I think that's why he had such a great voice, because he had this beautiful smile on him. But I remember visiting him also when he was at the care facility. And we sang Jesus Loves Me. And it was just such a neat experience because George's heart was always with Jesus, wanting to serve Jesus.
One of his favorite hymns that the musicologist would play for him was Great is Thy Faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And the song In Christ Alone was coming out around the time when George was still in the care center. And our DCE at Concordia was Jeremy Becker. And I asked Jeremy to put that on a CD for me. And I took it over and played it for George. And he gave me a thumbs up for it. So we used it at his funeral. Yeah.
In addition to George's career in media, including KFUO, you had a long career too, telling the good news of Jesus to a particular age group as well. Tell us a little bit about your career as a teacher.
I got my first call from Concordia Seward in the summer of 1970. It was to Emmanuel Lutheran School in Colorado Springs. I taught sixth grade there for 5 years and third grade for 2 years. And then in the summer of 77, I received a call from Irv Henkelman, who was the principal then at Christ Community Lutheran School. That was a bit of a raise up in age level children. I taught seventh and eighth grade religion, English, literature, and PE, and did some coaching. So I did that until 1980, and then I moved over to the elementary building where I taught fourth grade, fifth grade, a 3-4 combination for 2 years because we had a big third and a big fourth and needed some place to put the overflow. And since I had student taught with multi-grade, Mr. Pinnock said, Mrs. Schroll, I have a job for you. I said, okay, what is it? And it was teaching multi-grade third and fourth. They had never had that before at CCLS, so he wasn't sure how that was going to be received. But it worked out well because the advantages of multi-grade classrooms far outweigh the disadvantages. They absolutely do. And then I ended up with 28 years of third grade. So my favorite grades to teach are sixth and third, but I love interacting with my old kids, I call them. Many of them are in their 50s already. My first sixth graders, I was 21, they were 11.
Oh.
In 2018, I went out, my son George is a Lutheran teacher, he was teaching in Aurora, and we went down to my parish in Colorado Springs. I couldn't believe how many people remembered me. It was crazy. It was crazy. And I met with five of my first sixth graders who were 10 years younger than me. We met at a Starbucks. I recognized all five of them when they came in, and one of their first comments was, my gosh, you look better than we do. It was so funny. And my son George got the biggest kick out of watching us talk back and forth with each other. It was an absolutely delightful. I'm on Facebook, and a lot of my friends on Facebook are former students, and they are all over the place doing all kinds of jobs. And it's just heartwarming to talk with each and every one of them when I get a chance.
Well, thank you so much for sharing these stories with us today. Thanks for sharing the stories of George and how you both got to serve here at KFUO. Mm-hmm. You might not have been on the payroll, but we thank you for...
They didn't pay that well.
for your service in helping us tell the good news of Jesus here at KFUO.
Thank you. Thanks very much. It was a pleasure to be here.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Joni Harwa.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.